T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Amy, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. How are you all doing?
We're doing great. Let's start with Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is not yet vaccinated. It doesn't appear like he's eager to get vaccinated. San Francisco and New York have have mandates that if you're an employee in that city, you must be fully vaccinated. I guess what I'm asking is, what are we looking at here with Andrew Wiggins? Could he actually miss games in San Francisco?
Well, it seems that the Department of Health has made it pretty clear that if you are a member of a host team and you do not get vaccinated, you cannot attend a mega event, which the sporting event would fall under that category, where obviously there's a lot of people there. Due to the recent surge in cases where you guys are, they put into effect this rule that at mega events, religious exemptions and medical excuses cannot be used to get out of that requirement that you have to be fully vaccinated in order to attend. Interestingly, in the state of California, religious exemption is also not an excuse for getting out of school vaccines. So it seems to be on par with that. So it seems that if he does not get the vaccine, there's absolutely no way he could play in the home games. What's really interesting to me and of note, which may not seem so fair to people when they initially hear it, is that the state can't really impose those types of requirements on people coming in from out of state who are just there temporarily. So if you go to the website of the Department of Public Health and you read through the rules, actually the visiting team players, as the policy stands now on the website, do not have to be vaccinated. So you would have a home team player who can't play because he's not vaccinated, but then you'd have visiting players coming on the opposing team who may not be vaccinated but can play in the arena. So I think it's kind of an interesting catch-22 there.
And because of this odd double standard, especially as it pertains to performers who travel around like NBA players do from city to city, is there any legal recourse that Wiggins could potentially pursue in order to highlight just what this double standard kind of is presenting?
Well, normally there might be. However, in this particular category, what we've seen in the past, just legally speaking, is that the precedent at the state and really at the federal level, which always trumps the state, is that there's no religious exemption right when it comes to vaccinations, particularly in this circumstance. And the reason is because the government can institute rules as long as it has a compelling interest to do so. And the fact that there's a global pandemic and this is, you know, lives are dependent on people being vaccinated, especially at these mega events where there are tens of thousands of people, that's a compelling enough interest to say, okay, you're not entitled to a religious exemption. Now, employers can give a religious exemption, and it's really interesting because under the Department of Public Health's Q&A list, it actually says, can I apply for a religious exemption? And it says, if you're an employee of a business, you can ask your employer for a religious exemption. It doesn't seem to be that that would apply to mega events, but it doesn't necessarily outrule it either. And we saw that the NBA said, no, we're denying that request. And under legal precedent, employers do not have to make these types of exceptions to state laws or rules unless they want to. If it would cause an undue hardship, which is the legal standard, they can absolutely say no. So I think because of the circumstances, because of the topic that we're talking about here, he does not have a strong legal case in challenging this.
Amy, always a pleasure. I wanted to ask you about the situation in Houston with Deshaun Watson. I was watching a couple programs over the weekend where there were some teams, you know, looking into trading for Deshaun Watson, who is not currently, and I don't know why, but it's kind of odd, not on the commissioner's exempt list. Do you think it would take a trade and somebody get Deshaun and say, we're going to play him amongst these allegations for the league to take action? Why hasn't any action been taken?
That's such an interesting question, because what you're alluding to is you're saying, well, maybe there's this unspoken truce that's going on between the NFL and the team where the NFL is not putting him on the exempt list because they know that the team has agreed not to play him right now voluntarily. And so then it sort of softens the whole, you know, public relations aspect of putting him on the exempt list. I don't know if that's actually going on, but that's kind of interesting where, in your scenario, if he does go and he's going to be back on the field and a team wants to play him because now they've just freshly traded for him, does the NFL then have to take action because people will just be appalled that he's playing? I really don't know. I think it's pretty standard for the NFL not to put on the commissioner's exempt list unless there's an actual charge or indictment for a sexual assault, domestic violence, some sort of a violent crime. You saw with Frank Clark, he's not on the exempt list, and that's for a gun possession charge. He was charged with a felony recently, and that's because they really only reserve that for violent crimes. And on top of that, as I said, they'll wait for the criminal justice system to charge or indict, or they will wait for their own investigation to be completed. And it looks like they have not done so on that end, and that will probably take a while given the number of accusers.
Amy Dash joining us. She's Odyssey's legal expert and analyst, and we're talking about some of those issues with her. Richard Sherman, former 49er, is in Tampa Bay visiting with the Buccaneers in the hopes of getting signed. He was arrested in July regarding a situation at home. He was charged with five misdemeanors, including two counts of domestic violence, criminal trespass in the second degree, malicious mischief in the third degree. Is this kind of the same situation as Deshaun Watson, that if and when he signs, then the NFL will act?
You know, I'm not so sure the NFL will act in this circumstance. He was charged, and you're right, there was a violent component to it, and it's misdemeanors. It's obviously less serious in the fact that nobody was hurt. There was no allegation of domestic violence. There initially was a robbery charge, and it was connected to domestic violence just because it was allegedly committed against members of his family. But, yeah, I think it's an entirely different situation. Really, under the policy, the NFL specifies that it would have to be domestic violence or sexual assault. With Richard Sherman's charges, you have that domestic violence component, not because they're saying somebody was actually physically attacked or hit, just because it was committed against members of his family. So he has no criminal history. I think he may be punished by the NFL. He may be suspended. Or they may just decide to wait until his legal case plays out. But this is a case that really did a complete 180, where he was potentially facing robbery charges and a lot of time in prison if he were to be convicted. And then because of his lack of criminal history, because of the fact that his family members really advocated for him and he showed immediate remorse, and his lawyer was able to do a really good job in talking to the prosecutors, they decided to reduce these charges. And I really think because there's a mental health component here, that there's going to be some sort of resolution that involves him voluntarily going for help or into certain programs in exchange for maybe a probationary period. So I don't see this case playing itself out. I think this is a quick plea, and then maybe the NFL, just for looks, will give a minimal suspension, if any.
Has the NFL taken a step back from being so punitive with its suspensions? And I think about this in light of Josh Gordon and his return to Kansas City and all the hurdles he had to jump through for simple marijuana-related stuff. Has the league kind of softened its teeth when it comes to double enforcing against players who get into legal trouble?
Well, I think they're really inconsistent and still trying to figure out what to do on a case-by-case basis, because we've seen in the past when they really do try to take a hard-line stance with Tom Brady or Ezekiel Elliott or any of these especially star players, there's a lot of backlash because of the way that it affects the game, and the players will often challenge it, and then it becomes this whole distracting year or two long legal process that plays out in courts and grabs all the headlines. So I think they're trying to really be cautious in how much they get involved. But of course, in a situation like a Trevor Bauer or Deshaun Watson, where there's this sensitive allegation of potential sexual assault or domestic violence or rape cases, I mean, they feel that they do have to, because of the Ray Rice situation, which really put the NFL in the spotlight and gave them sort of this larger responsibility. They feel they do have to investigate those types of violent crimes, especially against women or children, and really take a stand when it comes to that. So I think they've been nothing but inconsistent, and it's really hard to sort of figure out where they're coming at in terms of their policies, because even when they have specific guidelines in their policies, they often won't follow those, because there are so many exceptions where the commissioner can add aggravating circumstances or mitigating circumstances, and it's all just very arbitrary. So I think they're still trying to figure out, based on public perception, sort of how the tides should turn in each given case.
Amy, what are you hearing about? You mentioned Trevor Bauer. The playoffs are upon us, and obviously he's been out for a while and has more important things to focus on. But what does he need, obviously, to get cleared to, you know, and not get in trouble to resume his career? Are you hearing anything? Because it's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing would be that the accuser either does not pursue criminal charges or a civil case, or that the police department that supposedly, according to his own attorney who mentioned this in the hearing, investigating this, decides not to bring charges. Those would be the biggest developments that I think would enable this to sort of go away quietly. But I'm not so sure, given the accuser's willingness to put herself in the spotlight, which she did not initially want to do, according to reports, and go on the stand and try to get a restraining order, which she failed at getting. I'm not so sure that she wants to let him sort of, you know, quote-unquote, get away with it, according to her, because she has talked about, at least through her attorneys, you know, how she was physically injured and how it impacted her, how emotionally and physically upsetting it was for her. So while he contests all this, there's still a lot that he's going to have to face on the legal side if she brings a civil suit, or if this criminal investigation progresses into an actual charge.
Amy, thank you so much. You add some clarity to all these complicated issues. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. That's Amy Dash. Odyssey Legal Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.